views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This is your moment. Gather together each week to follow leadership by example, love, and inspiration. Welcome to Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness with one of the most prominent naturopathic doctors in this country, as well as a leading detoxification and environmental illness specialist. Now, here's your host, Dr. Ronnie.
Hello, back again. I am Dr. Ronnie, your host on Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness. There is truly a lot of miracles in holistic healing, and I'm one of them. I have the privilege and the opportunity to help so many people around the globe. I am blessed to be able to do that. Today, I have a guest that's brilliant. She's so special. Her name is Dr. Parthenia Grant. She's the host of Divine Love Talk on CRN. She was born with lupus, and when I look at her, she's beautiful. She was born with lupus, fibrocystic disease. After detoxing her body and switching to live plant-based foods and learning how to manage her stress, all of her symptoms went away. And she also helped her daughter with lupus. Now, this is what I'm talking about, and this is why I'm so passionate and why I love talking to people like her, because there are truly miracles in holistic health and wellness. Dr. Grant, she has helped thousands heal their bodies and their spirits, actually. She's a doctor of psychology. She is a wellness expert, and she is an amazing practitioner. She's an expert for Go Healthy California Network Talent. She serves as a relationship expert. That's what I like. We had a long conversation one night about that. And literally, between two practitioners, I had to tell her to put on her psychology hat. She's certified and trained in Reiki. You know, I can go on, Dr. Grant. I'm going to call you Dr. Parthenia because that's a beautiful name, by the way. And looking at your beautiful face, and I know you've done so much work, not only because you told me, but because I read about it, but actually because I see it all over you. I've seen the work that you have done to have kept yourself looking the way you look today. And I know you feel good because you look like you feel good. Not that you don't have down times. And I know you have stressful times because you run your own business. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to lead by example, but we're also here to give some value with this radio show because there's so many people out there today that are struggling with chronic illness. And that's the reason why I'm going down that road of writing another book on chronic illness so that I can teach people that don't only detox while you're overweight, but you detox basically for health. And with you, I wanted you to come on this show because you've really taught me so much, even with that last conversation that we have on how to help people with stress. There's times where I'm so stressed, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about laughter, and I want you to talk about some of the things that you do to help people with their stress. I know that we talked about laughter a lot on our last show. And when I tell people that, they don't understand. They say, how do I laugh and become happy? And how do I feel good knowing that I have this chronic condition, this health condition that every single day when I wake up, I got to be faced with that? What are some of the things, and that was a mouthful, but what are some of the things that you do to help your clients feel better, Dr. Parthenia?
Oh my, I'm so excited to be here to share all of my hard-earned wisdom with your audience, because I love the title of your show, Miracles, because my life is an example of a miracle, being born with childhood lupus. And, I was never really supposed to live into my adulthood. And if it had not been for me being so sickly as a child, I would not have developed this interest in natural medicine and holistic healing very, very early on, because I saw what was happening to my mother with all the prescriptions that she was being given and all the side effects. And I thought, well, that's not the way that I want to go. And I had a very miserable childhood. So in terms of laughter, there really wasn't much to laugh about. But as I started to grow in awareness and consciousness and connecting myself to spirit, and as I, you know, continued on my journey to finding ways to become healthy naturally with no side effects, I discovered, and it was, I'm pretty sure it was Norman Cousins, you know, his whole theory on laughter and how if you just focus on the things that make you feel good, then you start to attract more of that in your life, and it takes your mind off of all of the things in your life that aren't working. And I was, you know, I would have to say to people, well, you've tried the being miserable and having, you know, the long face. how about, you know, finding something, you know, to entertain yourself? And it does create endorphins when you're just out in the sunshine, you know, just out around happy people. And so what I had to do was just start being around people that were positive and people that were happy, because I found that being in the presence of people that were morose, that it just didn't lift my spirits. It ended up being common sense that you can't be happy around a bunch of unhappy people. And a lot of times, if you notice, when you try people that are real serious about being miserable, if you try to bring, you know, a little laughter into it, they will get very upset with you. So it's a matter of matching vibrations. If you want to feel better, then you've got to find things to do and to think that will make you feel better. And you've got to start making better choices about who you want to hang out around. Wow. So I think that that's where it starts, you know, with looking at our associations, and being around negative people is a drain. That's just a fact. So I choose to be around people that are upbeat, that are happy. And I love, you know, I started dancing and,
oh my goodness.
Movement.
Yes.
I love salsa. And I, listen, when I first started learning salsa, I laughed at myself so much at how bad I was on the dance floor that whenever I would get a step right, I would just fall out laughing with delight. I was so delighted with myself. And what happened was the guys who were really, really good salsa dancers, because I was so delightful, you know, even though I couldn't dance, I was just so much fun for them to dance with, that, you know, I got to learn from the best male salsa dancers who were patient with me because they loved my delightful laughter. Whenever I would get it right, I would end up stopping on the floor and going, oh my God, did you see me? I did that.
You know, it's so amazing that you said dancing, because I also love dancing, and my work is so serious. You know, I deal with some really serious chronic illnesses, from arthritis to stage 4 cancer. So, and in between all the other stuff. But one of the things that come along with the chronic illness is, you know, depression and anxiety and that dark mood feeling. And, you know, and people don't realize that depressed people do have classic symptoms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it comes with bodily aches. And, you know, if you go to the doctors, like every couple of weeks, saying, you know, I have a pain here, I have a pain there, I have a pain there. Finally, the doctor says, well, that's just too many different spots to have a pain. Maybe you're depressed. And the first thing they'll say is, nope, not depressed. And then you talk to them a little bit longer and you realize that, oh, yeah, if they are not depressed, they're abnormal with all the things that they're dealing with. But it's one of those things that people just deny it. There is such a strong denial when it comes to depression. I mean, how many more signs do you have to have? I mean, they're not sleeping, they're not eating, they're not able to get to work on time, they have pains everywhere, they look horrible, They have mismatch socks on. I mean, I can see some real serious stuff going on. And, oh, nope, not the press. And so,
Ronnie, I have to tell you, I think because you're a holistic, you know, naturopathic doctor, and you look at things holistically, maybe, you know, you're not really tapped into like the Western allopathic model so much, because they separate, you know, the physical symptoms from the emotional symptoms. And sometimes that's the last thing they're going to look for is depression. So you just happen to be a very advanced doctor.
Well, I can tell you, I think that depression is one of those things that we're having an epidemic of it, because it's, I see it way too much. And literally, if you know, one of my models at the retreat is that I start to retreat depression before I start to treat the chronic illness, because there's this blockage there that I can't get any further to the real problem unless I get them to be my partner on their program. So the first thing I have to get them to do is to admit, yeah, I'm depressed, and that's why, you know, I'm not dressing correctly, and I'm not putting my makeup on anymore, and, you know, I'm literally not having sex with my wife or my husband anymore, and I hate going to work, and the list is so long. So so it's so classic to me, and I'm saying, have you told your doctor this? They go, well, no, because all they really want to know is how my blood pressure is doing or how my heart's doing.
Exactly.
You know, and so they never really get to the root of that. But one of the things that we had at the retreat, and I, you know, I've told you this before, is that we have what's called laughing therapy. I actually hired a teenager about 16, 17 years old. It was in the summertime, and that's when hip hop was really big, and mm-hmm. that's when dancing became really popular, just to come over, and we used to have what's called dancing. We would make them come downstairs and have a dance group with us. And that whole dance group was about getting them to laugh and loosen up, because until we got them talking and feeling happy, we couldn't get very far in the detoxification part of their program, because we do detoxification for some serious chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. It's not just for weight loss. And that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people don't understand about the retreat. But one of the things that we had to do was we had to talk a lot about helping them to express their feelings of depression, which comes in many different ways.
And so, you know, I'm so happy to hear that you do that, because, Ronnie, a lot of people don't even know that they're depressed. You know, they don't get that when you have chronic pain and inflammation, it causes depression, that the two are interlinked. And, you know, as I said, the Western allopathic model does not teach that to patients. You know, it's a separate issue as far as the allopathic model is concerned.
Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness with Dr. Ronnie continues in minutes.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Hello, I'm back again, Dr. Ronnie, and I'm here with Dr. Parthenia Grant, and we're talking about something very, very interesting today. This is part two of last week. We were talking about laughter and emotional detoxification and how it can help your immune system. And we have some stories that we want to talk to you about. I think this is so important that we talk about this because, you know, chronic illness is on the all-time rise. People don't realize sometimes that they have a chronic illness until it's too late, when they diagnose with the big C, or they get diagnosed with kidney failure, or they get diagnosed with heart disease. And they've been feeling this sort of doom and depression for a long time, Dr. Parthenia. I'm not talking about someone who's just feeling sick for a few weeks. I have people that says, oh, I've been feeling like this for 2 years.
Right. And then they really think that this is normal. And, you know, what we were talking about on break is that a lot of people do not know, honestly, what the identifying markers are of depression. And you mentioned, you know, one of the main ones is appearance. When people stop caring about their personal appearance when they go out in public, which brings me to this, you know, as a college professor, I would look around the classroom at my students, and especially, you know, like the girls, and how many of them would look like they just rolled out of bed, you know, put on their sweats and a baseball cap, or pulled their hair back in a ponytail and just barely showed up. And I know that, and, you know, as a psychologist, when you, and I've even seen people go out in pajamas, it's like, that's the first sign that you're depressed. There's something not quite right when you don't care about your personal appearance when you go out in public. I mean, some of them can't even bother to comb their hair, and the guys the same way. So I think it's kind of indicative of a society of a bunch of depressed young people.
Yeah. You know, and other people can see those signs, and but they can't see those signs. My mother saw those signs in me once, and I'm like, she says, something's wrong with you, sweetie. She says, I've never seen you look like this. She says, have you looked in the mirror lately? And I would say, what's wrong with me? She says, look what you have on. You don't wear stuff like that. I would just like get out of bed and just throw anything on top of my pants, anything. It could
exactly.
be a pajama top. I mean, but I think that, you know, and that's why it's so important for us to, you know, discuss this, because there's people out there listening to us and they don't realize, they need to understand that your energy changes, your appetite changes, even sometimes the way you speak changes. Like, you know, if you knew someone that used to speak very clear and loud and boisterous, and all of a sudden they got this little soft voice and they don't complete their sentences, and you're looking at them and you're waiting for them to complete the sentence, and they think they're doing okay. And you go, and you say, and they look at you like, and you want to say, is anybody home? And you want to snap your fingers. I mean, we see this, and we wonder, is anyone talking to this person about the fact that they may be depressed?
No, I can tell you, Ronnie, they're not. I mean, other than, I'm a psychologist and I have to deal with it. I mean, I had students lined up like every semester, sometimes until midnight when campus police would literally come, and they created a rule for me because students would be lined up to get help. And every one of them were depressed about something or another.
Wow. You know, one of the things that, you know, and I love to tell these stories, because I think when I tell stories of the retreat, people, there's someone out there that can relate to this. And some of the stories are funny and some are sad, but I'll never forget this particular story. I may have told it once. We had a lady that came to the retreat, and she was so depressed, but we couldn't tell it in the beginning because we just met her. So right. I didn't know how depressed she was. My staff didn't know how depressed she was, but we soon found out. So she sat, and I'm ready to take care of her cholesterol and her blood pressure, because she had a lot of issues like that. She had gained a lot of weight. So, of course, that's common to have blood pressure and cholesterol mm-hmm. issues. And it's also common if they have some weight to lose, they come to the retreat. So that's not a big deal. So I had her blood work and, you know, I had her program all written out for her. And we had our first assessment. So she sit down and I'm getting ready to do her health assessment. And so, and I, you know, I said, you got your blood work? Because I had mine on a computer, and so we were going to go over it. So she sat back in the chair, and she looked at me, and she said, well, I'm not really sure if I'm going to kill him or if I'm just going to jump off the ferry. And wow. So, you know, I'm like looking at her, like waiting for her to laugh, because, you know, to me, that was so profound when I'm getting ready to talk about cholesterol and blood pressure. But she didn't laugh, and so I said, mm-hmm. So I said, okay, so what should I do? Maybe I should laugh. So I just chuckled and laughed. So I realized that she wasn't buying that one, that this lady was totally serious. So I didn't know whether I should go and call 911, because if she was thinking about killing herself at the retreat, you know, maybe she needed to be evaluated by a psychiatrist right now. And I was, her husband was safe because he wasn't at the retreat. So I know she wasn't going to kill him. So I said, okay, now that was just too much information for this meeting, so what should I do? So forget the cholesterol and the high blood pressure. That was not on the list of priorities. So I said, okay, I have one or two things to do. I can take her for a walk and discuss this a little bit and get her out of the facility, or I can say, let's just have some fun for right now and get her more comfortable in talking about her husband and why she feels like she wants to do that. So we went to the kitchen table, we had soup, and I had my staff with me, and we just started telling jokes. We told jokes for the whole hour, because Dr. Linda, she really knows how to tell jokes. We got her laughing, we got her crying, we got her feeling comfortable, we got her to say she's never going back home ever again, and that was far better than killing somebody or killing herself. So in the next 2 or 3 days, we got her to release so much. The only problem we had is she wanted to go dancing every night, every night. And so we had to exchange staff members to take her dancing, because that was the way to keep her mind off of killing her husband or jumping off the ferry.
Wow.
So and it works every single time. And I always tell people, and we're really good at the retreat at doing that. We're really good at getting people comfortable with themselves and trusting us, because trust is a really big thing, on how to release and let go so that we can help you.
Right. Exactly. And if you can't get people in a frame of mind where they can receive something better or look for something better, it's very, very difficult to heal when you're not willing to let go of the pain of the past, or at least face it. You know, if you're running from it, you know, like you guys were able to get her in a place where she could relax and talk about it and then laugh, you know. Sometimes when we just laugh at the absurdity of our situations.
Oh, yeah.
The way that we react mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. That in and of itself, you know, helps, because, you know, I always think of suicide as a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And then when you, you know, explain to the person who is suicidal that, you know, this is a temporary problem. It doesn't seem like it, but you know, if you go that way, it's permanent. You don't get to change that decision.
Well, we know that her situation and you, we know that you are a relationship expert. So that was a relationship problem, and she did have some chronic issues. But when we come back, I want to talk about depression when it has to do with a life-ending story. When the doctor tells you you have 2 months or 3 months and depression comes in, how do you deal with that? That's tough. More when we come back. We like to talk to you with Dr. Parthenia Grant about some of the ways that you can help yourself to live a happier and healthier life with your chronic illness.
Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness with Dr. Ronnie continues in minutes.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
With Dr. Parthenia Grant, we're talking about laughter and emotional detoxification and some of the things that you can do to help your immune system with a chronic illness. We talked about some of the stories at the retreat. I want to know, Dr. Parthenia, some of the perception changes that you were talking about earlier. How do you help? Because, you know, if we should be depressed a little bit if our doctor told us that we've got 3 months to live or a year to live, whatever. It's bad news, and bad news cannot be handled with laughter. This is something that we have to teach our clients. This is something that we have to, you know, counsel them with and to get them to understand that you still have tomorrow, and no one can tell you the exact day or time. But in the meantime, there's ways that you can help yourself, correct? Because I can tell you how I helped myself when I had my chronic illness. I wouldn't be talking to you today if I did not embark on some of those things back then.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, I have had to deal with many young people who were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's just like bizarre, you know, over the past few years, and a lot of death and dying. And a big part of it is what's kind of ironic is the person who is dying handles it often better than the family. And, you know, what's important is to try to help them find some type of spirituality or some kind of comfort in their belief system, because everything is, you know, all about your perception. You know, a lot of people could look at it like, okay, if you're in stage 4 cancer, I'm in so much pain and misery, I'm ready to go because I know that you know there's got to be something better than this. So the secret is to try to help them shift their perception into looking at it from a different angle. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, none of us know if we're going to walk out the door and get hit by a truck or a bus or something. So, you know, nobody knows how much time they have left. So I believe that everybody should live every day as if it were their last day. And I love the old bucket list, you know, thing of, you know, doing the things, you know, even if you haven't been given a terminal death sentence, doing those things that you have always wanted to do with your life, but that you keep putting off. It's really, really important to have dreams and goals. And, you know, even if they're just little ones, one at a time, you know, that one trip that you always said you wanted to take, but do it now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make it happen. And basically mitigating, you know, the stress. I know when my brother was dying, he didn't want anybody coming in to see him who was crying and sad and miserable. You know, he said, look, I'm the one that's dying. You know, don't come in here, you know, crying. I'm dealing with this. I'm ready, you know, to go. He had a very, you know, strong spiritual, you know, outlook. And I was the one that he wanted there with him the most, because even though it is hard and you are sad and you don't want them to go, but, you know, watching his courage was just amazing. You know, the fact that he was laughing up until the last minute, you know, telling jokes and cheering everybody else and encouraging everybody else. And, you know, when you look at somebody like that, you know, you go, well, wait a minute. What excuse do I have to be miserable? You know, I mean, life really is what you decide to make of it. And it's just a matter of surrendering to what is, you know, that serenity prayer. I love that, you know, God grant me the courage, you know, to change the things that I can, you know, the wisdom, what is it? The wisdom to change the things that I can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the serenity to accept the things that I can't change. And there's just, that's very powerful, you know, figuring out, you know, there isn't anything I can do about other people, you know, and their choices. It's a free will zone. But I can look at my life and make the best out of it and make the best out, you know, I can choose a better reaction to circumstances and situations. I can choose a higher perspective. And so it's a matter of giving people a higher perspective on things or a different perspective on things.
Right. You know, that's really something else, because I know that dealing with some of this, and we're talking a lot about depression, but anxiety is something that goes along with chronic illness as well.
Absolutely.
And anxiety is very painful to watch, because these people literally can't do anything. It's worry at the level that creates your disease to grow faster.
Exactly.
Because we know that if you have a chronic illness, especially whether it's a heart condition or if it's cancer, some of these chronic illnesses, anxiety increases the effect of the disease. And so it's, you're in this vicious circle, and people would say, well, how can I not worry? Tomorrow mm-hmm. may be my last day. The doctor told me they don't know when my next heart attack will be. So how can I not worry? And I said, that's the complete opposite of what you should be saying.
Yes.
You should not be worrying, because you are going to create the very thing that you think of all day long.
Exactly.
If you can control what you think, and your body will follow you. It's like if you tell your body, they says, well, I don't tell my body that. I says, well, you are. You said that. How can you not worry? You just told your body to worry when you just said that. And because you told your body to worry, because you just said that, now your body's going to want to have a heart attack, because worrying creates heart attacks, and you already have a heart condition. So it's really one of those concepts that's hard to get across to a lot of people when they're in the midst of the chronic disease. Sometimes depression allows your thinking to be muddled, so you're dealing with a double whammy here.
It's very true, because depression, anxiety, and panic attacks often go hand in hand. And even if you don't get the panic attacks, often you're going to have the waves of anxiety that just come seemingly out of nowhere. But the truth is, the anxiety is brought on by a thought. There was a thought that you were thinking that literally brought on the anxiety. And so what I try to get people to look at is, what were you thinking about or worrying about that brought on the anxiety? And, you know, my mother used to say that worrying is like a rocking chair. It makes you feel like, you know, you're getting somewhere, but you're just moving.
Yeah, you're just moving. Well, I've certainly seen a lot of that.
Yeah. And is with pain, see, the catch 22 with chronic pain and inflammation that comes with it is that the byproduct is, you know, depression and anxiety. And so when you can do something to relieve the inflammation and the pain, and that's where detox and diet comes in, then you the depression and anxiety will definitely, the depression will disappear on its own. The anxiety, the way that you get rid of that is by examining your thoughts, you know, that are triggering the anxiety, which is fear, you know, of something that you can't control. And when you get people to understand that most of the things that you're worrying about are things that haven't even happened yet, and you're going to eventually manifest them because you keep focusing on them. Because, you know, I always think about the biblical Job, where, you know, the things that I have feared the most have come upon me. When you keep putting that energy into what you don't want, then you're, you know, causing that to manifest a lot quicker. So it's a better investment to look at your thoughts and go, okay. And I have them ask, okay, that thought, when it comes up about somebody or situation, just mm-hmm. ask yourself, first of all, is that true? Mm-hmm. You know, that's very simple. Is it true? And then, you know, if you do some research on it, and once you can ascertain whether it's true or not, then you can determine whether you need to act on it. And so the next step is it necessary to say something about it to the other person or to do something about it? Well, if it is true, you don't necessarily have to say something about it. Sometimes you just need to accept the situation for what it is. And sometimes there's, you know, no point in even trying to bring it up to a person who's in denial. But that the second step is it necessary? And then the third step is, you know, can I find a kind way for myself and for the other person to resolve this? And those are tough, you know, three little questions. But if they can ask themselves those questions, first of all, it usually will nip itself in the bud if they just begin with, is the thing that I'm ruminating or fearing in my head or worrying about in my head, is it really true? And
yeah.
A lot of the time, it really isn't true. Because even, you know, like, you know, when people have been given death sentences, that isn't necessarily true. You know, I was given a death sentence and, you know, told to go home and just, you know, there's no cure and, you know, just live, you know, whatever time I have left. And here I am decades later and I'm still alive. So
you know, truth becomes whatever reality you make out of it.
Yes, and that's true. And, you know, and that's, so why don't we just all go out and dance, you know, I'm just laugh and dance, because I'm not kidding you. I think that with every chronic illness, there should be a prescription for just laughter and having fun, because medicating them, it's not the answer. How many people come here, they're already on 3 prescription drugs. They're on an antidepressant, an anti-anxiety, and a sleep pill. That's 3 prescription drugs. And I'm telling you, they do not look any better, and mm-mm, they do not feel any better. So why don't we just include laughter and dancing in the whole protocol? Because I have had so much success with that. And you know what? Success always wins. I cannot tell you how many people feel better 2 or 3 days after they come to the retreat. It's just all natural. We just have ourselves a laughing good time. And I know for a fact that it extends their life. And when we come back, I want to talk more about some of the things, some of the value, and some of the ways that we can give our listeners to help them with their chronic illness. And I'm sure they know a loved one who have a chronic illness. More exactly. When we get back.
Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness with Dr. Ronnie continues in minutes.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Hello, we're back again talking about laughter and emotional detoxification and some other ways that we can help with a chronic illness that may be in your life or one of your loved ones' life. We've talked about some stories at the retreat, and we're here with Dr. Parthenia Grant, who's going to give you some tips on how you could be happier and hopeful with a chronic illness, how you can wake up and think differently. Dr. Parthenia, you know, I deal with some serious whole body diseases at the retreat. And I've told you how we make them get up and go to the water. We walk them down to the water to look at the lighthouses. We will even take them dancing. We will do whatever it takes to get them to trust us, love us, and so that we can help them. Because if they're not our partner in getting well, we can only go so far. And those of you who are at home, who's taking care of a loved one who's sick, Dr. Parthenia Grant is going to give you some information on how you can help them. Because at the end, everything you think about controls the way you live your life. If you wake up in the morning depressed, thinking everything's going to be bad, it's going to be bad. If you wake up thinking that I'm going to be in pain all day, you're going to be in pain all day. It's about how you think about the way you're living with your chronic illness is controlling the chronic illness itself. Dr. Parthenia, help our readers out here, because, you know, you've helped me out quite a bit just by listening to you. I cannot imagine waking up every day faced with a horrible chronic illness without having someone like you in my life.
Oh, well, you know, it does help to have someone who is positive and who has not gotten into agreement with you about the hopelessness of your situation, or who has not fallen into despair. You need a counterbalance in that situation. But some simple things that we can do, because thoughts are things, and we do have four bodies. We have our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, and our spiritual body. And, you know, most people think that it all starts with the physical body, but actually the body that controls everything is, you know, the spiritual aspect of ourselves. So if we view ourselves as this worthless, helpless, you know, creature who is just sinful and who deserves to be punished for whatever we're going through, that is going to filter down to your mental body, you know, and the way that you think about yourself, and then your emotions to how you react to the world. And then, of course, it's going to manifest itself into some kind of disease. So I like to take a holistic approach and begin with, you know, getting people to connect with spirit. And it doesn't matter, you know, like what their belief system is, but just to have some type of higher belief, which gives you hope. Because without hope, you know, it's that's a hard way to live in the world. And, you know, another thing that I find that's very, very helpful is to get people in integrity with themselves, because, you know, being integrity means you're going to keep your word to yourself. And making a commitment to get healthy, you know, you're either going to submit to the chronic illness and become a victim of it and whine about it the rest of your life, or you're going to look for alternative, you know, solutions that do no harm. And so it's a matter of opening up to other alternatives. And the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, I find, are very helpful in terms of getting in alignment with your higher self. Because the first one is to be impeccable with your word, which means to, you know, keep your word to yourself and keep your word to others. And often, you know, getting sick means you're not, if you don't do something about it, you can't keep your word to, you know, your family, you know, to your spouse, or, you know, maybe your business partner. And the second one is not to take things personal. And then the third one is, don't make assumptions, you know, because people will jump to the worst case scenario and say, oh, you know, it is a death sentence. And then to just do your best. I mean, those are four simple little principles that if you apply it to everyday life, it can get you through some very, very trying situations, because we do tend to make assumptions, and we do tend to take everything personal. When we get sick, you know, sometimes we think, well, God, you know, is punishing us, or, you know, somebody else is doing this to us. And if we, you know, get out of personalizing it, we can, you know, become objective, and we can say, well, you know, no, this is just life happening, and I'm in charge here, and I just maybe didn't make very good choices, and I can make some better choices. And so better choices would be, what's really, really healing is just to get outdoors. See, you're there at Martha's Vineyard. The beach is there. You know, the water and the beach is very, very healing. If you can just walk in the sand, get some sun, you know, on your shoulders. The sun is the giver of life, you know, for this planet. And, you know, when you have a vitamin D deficiency, you are going to get depressed. So just sunshine is very, very helpful. And, you know, walking in the woods, going on a hike, working in your garden, you know, you can just, you know, I have a patio, I have a wraparound garden, and getting out there is so therapeutic. And having a pet can be so healing, especially a dog, because they're just so loyal and so loving.
I know it. I know. A lot of people do have dogs who are clinically depressed. Mm-hmm. I find that that's really something that really helps them. Taking care of something.
little children, you know, that are happy, you know, going to a playground and just watching, you know, how they live in the moment, and they're just running around and they're delighted with every single thing. And, you know, like I live right by the Americana, where there are restaurants and bookstores and parks and little kids playing, and they have bands that come there. And, you know, they have this big green open area. And when the bands are playing live, the little kids are the ones out there dancing to the music. I mean, they just have no problem. You will see them out there twirling around, you know, and you can't tell them that they can't dance.
And Dr. Barthenia, when you watch something like that, doesn't it make you feel happier? Because how can you not look at children hiking and walking and dancing and laughing and, you know, playing in the park and not feel better? And that's why some of our therapies here at the retreat, we get them out. We have to get them out, because it's the oxygenation that helps with this as well. And walking and hiking certainly increases the oxygenation. And those who can't walk or hike or dance, I mean, there's other things that we can do for them. We can take them out in a wheelchair just to sit in the sun, like you said. These are some of the things that we can do, because, you know, depression with chronic illness, if you don't treat and try to do something about the depression, it becomes a whole nother illness in itself. So now you've got two illnesses. You got the kidney disease or the cancer, and now you've got the depression, which is an illness. Now you got more medications on top of that. So you truly are making your situation worse without treating it. But a lot of people don't know what to do, like we said earlier, because they don't even know they're depressed. And some of the symptoms I want to give our listeners to be able to evaluate whether they know a loved one or a friend that may be depressed and they not know that. Some of the symptoms that you will see, the first sign that I always see in somebody is this sort of kind of like malaise look. It's almost like they literally want to just roll over and play dead. They no longer want to participate in anything. Everything you ask them, no, thank you. But would you like to do this? Nope. Would you like to go out to dinner tonight, honey? Nope. Yeah. Would you like to go pick up the kids, sweetie, for me? Nope. Well, what would you like to eat tonight? Nothing. Whatever. And so those are some of the signs: loss of appetite, fatigue, thoughts, abnormal thoughts, not just thoughts of death. We think just thoughts of suicide, just abnormal thoughts can be a sign of depression. You know, like if they're constantly thinking about, you know, that little scab on their leg that won't go away, that the doctors already told them that it was nothing. If they're constantly thinking about the fact that their hair is thinning out all day, they got to mention it. These are all signs, because they weren't there before. And for some people, the mood creeps into every corner of their life.
Right.
And that they're not the same at work. They're not the same at home. They're not the same anywhere. But yet we let it exist. And I hear people say, well, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's not the same. She's not the same person that I used to know. Well, have you told her this? Have you even told someone else that may love her? Because we lose a lot of people to suicide, and to they go so low that they actually never come back the same.
Exactly. And you know, so many of the medications, I ask people, did you even read the side effects? Because what's really crazy to me is some of the depression medication causes depression, or it causes suicide. And it's like, okay, are you sure that this is the best route here, when, you know, there are foods that can lift your mood? And I'm sure that you see remarkable results when people change their diet and just get out and get some sunshine. And, you know, when they take natural things like turmeric that can get rid of inflammation.
Wow.
Inflammation.
I was just going to mention that there are so many different ways that we can help someone, but we've run out of time. And I want to just leave you this one thought. Next show, we're going to discuss more on this subject, because I got so many calls and questions that I couldn't answer them all. But one of the things we're going to touch up on next episode is, what can we do? What can we eat, what are some of the natural foods and herbs and homeopathic remedies that we can give people to help them with this mood feeling, this dark feeling, the depression and the anxiety? And please call Dr. Parthenia. Go to her website. Reach her at drparthenia@aol.com. She can help you with your depression. She's a relationship expert. I'm here to tell you that for a fact. She helped me. Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about how to be hopeful, healthier, and happier with a chronic illness and food.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Ronnie, Miracles of Holistic Health and Wellness. Tune in every Friday, 3 p.m., for more exciting guests and surprising stories. Visit her website at drronnieholistichealth.com. Skype her at ronnie.deluce. Tweet at twitter.com/drronnie. Or call and leave a text at 774-208-2477.